Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. And we are here for episode number 150
Yay!
Of Jumping Bomb Audio. And as it's been for the past, well, I can't say 149 episodes because I know there's at least one episode I missed. For the last most of the episodes, this is Taylor, joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, it is Easter Sunday, and like the big man JC himself, we have risen again.
We have risen to eat a bunch of jelly beans. And God damn it, this cat is going to try and slap my microphone the entire time I'm doing this show. Let's go.
Look, it's 150.
Special
we've got this down to a science, so we got to, you know, add a wrinkle.
Yeah, this time the cat decides he wants to help.
So if all of a sudden in the middle of an opinion, Kelly goes very quiet.
Yeah, and maybe you hear boom, 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 boom. That's because the cat knocked the microphone down.
And if that happens, I will be keeping it in the episode.
Oh, absolutely.
Mostly because I don't want to have to edit.
Yeah.
By and large. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got, of course, the big Tokyo Joshi Grand Princess 26 to talk about. Lots of newsworthy items coming out of that. And of course, in our previews, we have the WrestleMania weekend preview. Lots of Joshi action, and maybe the last time we'll ever have a WrestleMania weekend to talk about. So we got to talk about this one. But before we do, we got to do the plugs. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. You know, Kelly, one big thing about this show, we've done it 150 episodes, but we are American people.
Unfortunately.
Yes, very unfortunately. talking about some Japanese culture. And that comes with a bit of a language barrier, I think we could both agree.
It does.
And when we're talking about language barriers, one thing that I think can help everyone with the language barrier is Rosetta Stone, who is the sponsor of today's episode. We've all been there, wanting to truly connect with a new culture or prepare for that big trip to see some Joshi, but feeling stuck behind dusty textbooks and confusing grammar rules. That is Japanese. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. For over 30 years, they've been the gold standard in language learning, using an immersive method that helps you think and speak in your new language from day one. Instead of just memorizing a list of words, you learn through sight, sound, and intuition, the way we actually learn as kids. Whether you're just looking to pick up Spanish, or of course, master Japanese, or maybe you just want to keep your brain sharp, Rosetta Stone's bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your daily routine. Plus, their True Accent technology gives you real-time feedback on your pronunciation, so you can speak with confidence from your very first lesson. Don't just learn a language, start living it with Rosetta Stone. You can get started today at voicesofwrestling.com/JBA Rosetta. That's voicesofwrestling.com/JBA Rosetta. So let's get into it. Tokyo Joshi Grand Princess 26 from March 29th in Ryogoku Sumo Hall in front of a promotional record 3,089 fans, taking the record back from Texas. Kelly, I'm interested. We have not talked about this show at all. We don't talk in depth, but usually we send a couple of messages back and forth. We have not spoken at all about this show. What'd you think?
I largely enjoyed it. I thought it was a very fun show. I mean, you got the first half is a little rough if you're not into the comedy stuff, but by and large, I had a good time.
Yeah, it's. I think it's going to be weird because I really liked the show. I thought it was very good, but I think as we go through match by match, it's not going to seem that way.
No.
Because I feel like I have a lot of smaller complaints that are going to be like, oh, he's complaining about this. Oh, he didn't like this. But on the whole, I thought the show was very good. Now, I will say that was boosted by an incredible match in the middle of the show.
Yes, absolutely.
In a promotion that usually doesn't have that type of thing, where you're like, okay, if there's going to be good matches on this show, it's going to be the main event or the semi-main event.
Yeah.
So that was very helpful. But overall, I thought positive. I think that there's some interesting things happening. Some of them I'm not sure whether I would call good, but I would call interesting. And that's something.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it. The first match was a singles match, Uta Takami defeating Shion Kanzaki in 5 minutes and 43 seconds. A pretty short match here, but really my only note about it was I think Uta is going to be very good in 3 to 4 years.
Absolutely. I totally agree. She has been improving so steadily. I think she's going to be big. And, like, I mean, she's obviously small, but you know what I mean. I think putting these two in the opener like this tells me, at least, that they see big things for both of them. Shion's still very rough, but she's also 4 months in. So I think they expect these two to be something big down the road. And I think I see like flashes of it in Shion. So I think there is definitely something there. But Uta, 100%, she's looking great. And I love the Koala Clutch. Like, that's one of my favorite submission moves going in wrestling right now.
I think Uda has the energy of, like, very early Miyu was this way. I think early Mirai was this way, where you're like, oh, this person is going to be good, even though they're mostly just screwing around in, not in this case, but in multi-person matches. You're like, oh, they're good. They have something that, I don't know why in this promotion, it seems much easier to just be able to identify, like, oh, this person definitely has something, or, oh, this person, I'm not sure, has anything.
You're right, it is, and I don't know why.
There's, like, no weird middle ground where it's like, oh, I don't know about this person. Maybe it's either they got it or they don't, which I guess is helpful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, other than that, I mean, 5 minutes, under 6 minutes, you know, can't really say too much about it.
Yeah, I threw a gentleman's three on it. I liked it well enough, but it wasn't much.
The next match wasn't even really a match. It took place backstage. That would be Raku defeating Antonio Honda for the DDT Iron Man Heavy Metal Weight title. Balianaki, that's the name of the title. Did you listen to English commentary?
Yes, of course I did.
Where he was like, what is this? What title? What's going on? And I think Mr. Haku was like, you know, the title that you've had before.
And he's like, what?
Yeah. Anyway, Honda came in as champion. He fell asleep backstage and was pinned by Raku. But as Mr. Haku said, they had already paid for Honda to show up to the show. So he was still in the next match, which was the DDT Iron Man Heavy Metal Weight title Delayed Entry Battle Royal, which was eventually won by Sumire Usaka, who won amidst a great list of people: Raku, Antonio Honda, Chika Nanase, great Wakabayashi-kun, Kira Summer, Mihiro Kiryu, Matcha, Mifu Ishida, Minamo, Momo Sato, and Sakura Hattori. I will say, Hattori looks a lot better when she's running into the ring, choking the life out of one person, and then what looked like shoot kicking someone else in the face.
Yes.
It was like choke out Nanase and then kick Kira Summer very hard.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, this is better. You know, still climbing on the top rope and doing the long, hey, ho.
Yeah.
I'm like, we have to, like, okay, you want to do it, you have to do three.
We got to cut it down.
Yes. It has to be like one, two, three, jump. Instead, it's like one, two, three, four, five, six.
And she's doing the, I just picture she's doing the sound effects too.
Well, she's saying something.
Oh yeah, you're right. She is.
Something is happening, but it's just too long.
Yeah.
I know this is probably not the right promotion for this, but I'm like, it takes me out of it where there's a bunch of people just standing there going, "Whoa, what is she doing? Oh, uh-oh, she's coming down."
Yeah, she
she got me.
Unfortunately, not as scary as the great Wakabayashi-kun, who is genuinely terrifying.
I saw some people compare great Wakabayashi-kun to Pinhead.
That's what I thought her face paint was.
No, she's a net.
Oh.
She's like a soccer net.
Okay, yeah, but it sure does just look like Pinhead.
Yeah. Was shocked how short Minamo was in the match, considering how much they
hyped that
talked
up.
About. Yeah, they were like, oh, watch for this. Sumire was fun.
I really liked her. I thought she did a great job. I popped huge for her doing the Antonio Honda bit.
Yeah, I thought the Gone the Fox stuff was fun. It was fun seeing someone else do it. You know, and this, my final note was fun stuff.
Yeah.
Because largely the match is just sort of like, oh, this is fine. Because what do you say about, what do you really say about it?
And hey, great news, as we speak, she is still champion.
And Mihiro Kiryu didn't get it back.
Exactly.
So good for us.
We can have someone that's actually funny with the belt. Okay.
I just like the Tiger Jeet Singh stuff. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Like someone who's a weird. I saw someone compare it online. Someone was like, the distance between when Tiger Jeet Singh was around and like now would be like, oh, someone 20 years ago doing like some person from the 1920s.
Yeah.
But hey, it was fun. I enjoyed it. She seemed to enjoy it. I mean, she has the title, so maybe she'll be around again.
Yeah, I hope so.
The next match was a tag team match. Kelly's favorite tag team in the land, Bumping Gritters, Himawari and Shino Suzuki, defeating Ren Kanatsu and Toga in 10 minutes and 46 seconds. I had no notes on this because I think largely my notes were, oh, Himawari is good.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, the people I already like, Himawari and Toga, were good. Like, Ren is still young,
yep.
And Shino is fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Himawari's new jackhammer finisher a lot. I thought that was good. And I noticed in this match, I'm wondering if there was some kind of company edict where they're allowing the wrestlers to work almost in more of a heel serious manner. Not even serious, but a more heel manner. Because we had Himawari like choking people with her hair, which I don't really recall her doing in the past. Like, she uses it as a whip, but I don't recall her doing the choke behind the referee's back. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, it seemed clear on this show that they may not be encouraging it, but between Inspiration, Spark Rush, and some other things, it's like, well, there is some semblance of heels.
Yeah, let people work a little nastier.
Kelly wants them to get nasty.
Yeah, let them be nasty little freaks.
The next match was the six-person Sentai tag team match. Haru Kazushiro, Shoko Nakajima, and Yuki Aino defeating Aja Kong, Palm Harajuku, and Veni in 13 minutes and 8 seconds. Now, Kelly, I have to rely on you for the Sentai. I don't even know. Do you watch Sentai?
On occasion, I am currently... Well, currently it's not airing. But I have watched it quite a bit in the past. And I had a great time with this. I thought this was very fun that they just stuck one of the Sentai live stage shows in front of this match. I thought Pom was tremendous as like the big bad leader that summons all the monsters. That was very fun. And like, yeah, it was just great. And honestly, I think with this match, we may have lucked out by having Max be unable to compete and getting replaced with Veni, because I would wager that the Sentai monster stuff was going to be more involved in the match until then. And it almost seemed like Veni was like, I am not doing that shit. I will wrestle a match and you guys can do that before. And I hope that's what happened, because the match itself was really good. I thought it was awesome. They had great action throughout. And like, I went 3 3/4 on it. I mean, I was already on a high from just the Sentai nonsense beforehand, but I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes, thought this rocked. I went 3.5. I was very shocked. And I also wrote Palm Harajuku worker.
Yeah,
in my notes, because she was working hard.
She has those glimpses every now and then where it's like, there might be something there.
Yeah, I don't know if she's so stuck in the comedy that it's will never come out, but I was like, oh, this is going. My other big note, we talked about Uda. I'm like, Haru's got something.
Yes, 100%.
There's something going on there. I really like the color scheme of Haru, Shoko, and Yuki.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, wow, like custom, especially in a show where they really didn't do that much pomp.
No.
Type stuff. Like, there were really no special entrances. There was no, I was expect, you know, they did the entryway.
Yeah, but nothing like the Neo Bishikigun entrances of the past.
Yeah, but I was like, whoa, this is fun. And they were talking about on commentary, Shoko not wearing any red. And I was like, wow, that's great color coordination.
Yeah.
And
I like that trio a lot.
Yeah, and with Haru dying now, having graduated and dyeing her hair blue. So I'm interested to see where Haru went. But this was the first sign where I was like, oh, wait a minute, this is good.
Yeah.
So really liked it. I also liked, maybe I'm a Venny, that it was like the Sentai stuff happened at the beginning and then they just went away.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, and now a match.
I think that was for the best. Because I do think that if Max was in there, it would have been very much Max and Kong are the monsters and maybe the Sentai fights them, you know?
Yeah. The next match was a special singles match, Mizuki defeating Andreza Giant Panda in 8 minutes and 4 seconds. Look, I'm over Andreza.
Yeah.
We've done, like, all the jokes have been done. It's the same jokes, you know. Oh, they have a hard time getting over under the ring ropes. Oh, they hit someone with a headbutt. Wow. The one thing I did like didn't even have anything to do with the match. Mr. Haku was talking about Andreza Giant Panda as they were entering and was like, oh, Andreza, there was some J-pop group or something.
Yes.
Where one of the members cheated on his wife or something. And so they kicked him out of the group. And then they hired Andreza Giant Panda and found out he had also cheated on his wife and kicked him out of the group. I was like, oh, that's the funniest part of this match is this weird story about, you know, his previous cheating scandal getting brought back up. What is the deal with Mr. Yue? Who is this person, Mr.
I have USA? No idea. My first guess was that it was maybe Chris Brooks.
But I was like, is this a, what is the Andreza home promotion called? He have like a home promotion?
No, I have no idea where Andreza typically works.
Does he have a cage match? Anyway, it was a match where I was also like, we've also already seen this before.
Yeah.
Oh no, a freelancer. Well. In 2025, where's Ihime? Well, only worked 2 matches. When did he work GCW?
In
Japan. Yeah. In Japan. All right. Yeah, but it was just sort of like, I don't care about this.
Yeah, Mizuki made it work well enough. Like, I don't think it was amazing. I didn't think it was bad. I do really enjoy the panda headbutts. Those do look incredibly violent. So I do still pop for those. But yeah, it was whatever. But I am happy to see America being used as a heel in Japan because we do deserve it.
The next match was a tag team match. The duo of Spark Rush, Sari and Takumi Iroha, defeating Ariso Endo and Miyu Yamashita in 18 minutes and 44 seconds. Kelly, I'll let you go first.
So I actually have 2 different ratings for this match. The first time I watched it, I went 4.25. And then I saw everyone raving about it. And I was like, maybe I need to watch it again. Like, I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was great. And then I rewatched it. And I can only think that at some point during the match, I fell asleep and woke up and never realized it. Because there was a big chunk in the middle that I just did not remember. So my new full match rating is 4.75 stars because it was fucking incredible. I loved this match so much, and I understand why people were raving about it now, because it turns out when you see the full match, it's really good. Out of all of the people in this match, though, Arisu Endo is the star. She was like the driving force behind this match, being just trying to prove herself to everyone else in the match, and it was just incredible storytelling, and this was so, so good. I loved this match.
Well, I went 5 stars.
Hell yeah.
Very easily, because at the end of the match, I was like vibrating. I was like, oh yeah. My God, this is so good. You know, I know a lot of people have issues with Balianaki's commentary. I've talked about some of them, although I thought on the whole, he was good.
Yeah.
Or at least he was better than he has been.
You know, yeah, no, I enjoyed him here, but I do typically enjoy Aki, but whatever.
He had a great line in the middle of this, which was, Endo is used to wrestling matches where people are trying to beat her, but now she's wrestling a match where people are trying to hurt her.
Yeah, that is.
And I was like, that is a great line. First of all, we have to start at the beginning. Imagine this match with Xia Li.
Yeah.
Like,
the entire match is different. Like, there is not
one
even
of the great upgrades of all time.
Yeah. Like, there's not even a bit where you're like, oh, that's where they pasted in Iroha or whatever into this match structure. It's like, no, it is just an entirely different match.
So TNA, you know, TNA, TNA.
TNA. Thank you, Mr. Carlos Silva. I love you and your little hat.
Yeah, I was going to say, in your little hat, yeah. It was funny because the match started, and it was Miyu and, I don't remember whoever it was, Siri or...
I think it was Aroha,
or both. And there was clearly a thing, or like Endo tagged in, and then I think it was Aroha, and Aroha clearly was like, no, I want to wrestle Miyu.
Yeah, and Miyu's face was like, come on, I just got out of there with Sari.
But also I was like, uh-oh, I hope this is not a thing where like Endo is the tack-on for Miyu, Sari, Miyu, Aroha, which then it clearly was not.
Yeah.
And it, you know, so much has to be said for Miyu, who is in this promotion still,
mm-hmm.
You know, became the leader or whatever her role is, which seemed like she was going to be gone, but has continued in the promotion, is losing matches to people.
She has to be office now, right?
I guess. Like, and in this match, after like the halfway point, maybe, is barely in the match.
Yeah.
Like, it was all Endo specifically designed. And I was like, they've got to do an Endo-Aroha singles match, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because at the end, the handshake, I mean, it was just, like, it was so hard-hitting in a way that's shocking
in
to
this
see
promotion.
In Tokyo Joshi. You know.
Like, I want to see Endo just... on every big show now, finding someone new to tag with to try and take these two down.
But it's just wild to me that most people who come into this promotion are like, okay, we're working in Tokyo Joshi, we got to work this way. Sari and Aroha were like, nope, we're doing our match. Follow along with us. I just thought it was so good. They absolutely obliterated. And then another thing I really liked is they did the time call with like 5 minutes left or something.
Uh-huh.
It must have been at 15 minutes, and the match must have had, I think it had a 20-minute time limit.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, they announced that they must be going to a time limit. I was like, wow, that's going to be impressive. And then they didn't.
Yeah, they faked me out with that too.
I was like, that was really smart. Not many people do that. I just thought the whole thing was so well constructed. It made Endo look... I mean, this was the hottest the crowd was all night.
Yes. They wanted Endo to win or just... fucking beat them back as hard as she could. It was so good.
So, I mean,
hell, all right, here's what we do. Spark Rush gets the tag titles. They beat the Inspiration, and then eventually Endo and Suzume come back and win the belts off of them.
I mean, I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah.
But just great. I mean, last year, I think I said this on our Year in Review show, I had no five-star matches, I think, last year. I have two in Tokyo Joshi, and it is April 5th as we record this. I'm like, they're having a good year. You know, hopefully
yeah,
that
they're
continues.
Having a really good year.
We'll see. The next match was a tag team match. Konosuke Takeshita and Yuka Sakazaki defeating Hyper Masao and Super Sasadango Machine in 21 minutes and 29 seconds. Kelly, this has a 4.28 on Cage Match.
I think that's a little rude.
How do you feel?
I went 3.5. It's one of those matches that outside of the context of either DDT or Tokyo Joshi, it does not work in any way. But because it is in the home promotion, it fits. It fits the canon of the promotion. It fits their storytelling. So I thought it was fine. It was very dialogue heavy, as we expected. But I thought when they started working, they worked really hard. I thought this was the best that Super Sasadango Machine has ever looked. I thought he worked his ass off here. And I really enjoyed the final closing stuff with Yuka and Misao. So overall, it was a fun match. It wasn't anything great. Like, I wouldn't be throwing... It's not on any recommended matches list. But for what it was, I liked it quite a bit.
I actually also enjoyed it. I thought it was a good come down from the previous match where I didn't have to spend a lot of my brain being like, okay, another match. What's going to happen? You know, because nothing really was going to follow that last match.
Yeah. And in that way, they kind of booked this card out perfectly.
Yeah. Photo by Shinsuke Nakamura made me laugh in the opening photo credit. Yeah. I thought it was good. It had a lot of beats. It had a lot of sort of different sections. I liked Misao actually fighting at the end, pulling out the Vanitas. So it got to a serious point at the end. I'm with you where I don't know that I would recommend this to anyone, but I thought it was good. Major complaint, we got to go back to the old Yuka Sakazaki theme.
Yeah.
I think it was a, you know, husband mix, but we can't keep it.
Yeah, is that a Mikey Ruckus original?
No, it's by the, they announced it's by the band or the guy in the band or something that she really likes.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what band or what guy, but the whole thing was, oh, it's like a band she likes.
Okay.
And I think they did it to make it closer to his theme.
Okay. So it's not unlike,
I was like, no,
the new Okada music.
Yeah.
It is a band they really like, and it is a definite downgrade.
But yeah, this was good. I actually haven't watched a lot of DDT recently, so the Super Sasadango PowerPoint, I was like, oh, this is fun. I haven't seen one of these in a long time. So all good. Nothing major. I mean, again, you sort of know what you're getting if you've seen DDT or Tokyo Joshi with the Sasadango Machine and Hyper
Masao. If you've
Masao.
Ever seen a Sasadango Machine match, you kind of get what you're going to get here.
Yeah. It's not a change of pace. The next match was our first title match, the International Princess title match, Suzume defeating Mirai in 15 minutes and 24 seconds. I actually think, weirdly, I'm the high man on this.
Okay.
But not that high.
Where are you at?
I went 4.25.
That's exactly where I am.
Oh, there you go. Because I liked it, but it felt like there was supposed to be a through line to this that never really developed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt like there was supposed to be like an A to B to C thing going on. where I was like, okay, A is like, I also was thinking back to the Miyu 1-4 match, because then near the end, it was like, oh, she's hitting a bunch of ring of bells like she did in the 1-4 match. Like, that's become the signature. But it never really felt like there was a real story, definitive story, that I was supposed to be like, oh, the whole thing of the match is, like, they didn't even really, and I don't know if this is just the English commentary, like, emphasize, oh, they used to be partners.
Yeah, that really wasn't as big of a part of the story as I had assumed it would be.
It was just sort of like, oh, they've wrestled before. And I'm like, okay. I mean, there was also that top rope leg drop that just didn't happen.
Yeah, Mirai fucked that up pretty bad.
But then they just sort of stood there and I was like, oh, is the point? I think that's also why I got confused. Because at first I was like, oh, is the point that it's one of those, oh, you go to hit me with your finisher and I'm so tired I fall over things? That's what I thought they were going for at first. But then Suzume just sort of stood there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I think that was not supposed to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I could have seen it being like that, but it just came off like a botch too much, where it's just like, this looks shitty.
Mirai did make up for it with a crazy lariat.
Yes.
After that, which looked great. Happy for Suzume to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think now that it's over, sort of the Mirai reign does feel sort of pointless.
Yeah.
Beyond, oh, this is someone who used to wrestle here and now wrestles here again. Like, oh, okay, cool. Suzume has the title. We'll see. Like, the whole thing just never really... It feels like the match, and as I'm like, oh, it was 4 1/4. The match didn't make that final step to come together, and the whole storyline of Mirai just coming in and being like, oh, I want to wrestle a couple people and then leave. I was like, oh, I feel like you could have done more with that.
No, I 100% agree with that. I think her run was kind of has a lot of wasted potential, and that's not just me doing a bit because I wanted Great Sasuke to win the title. I do feel like it just kind of happened. She just came in, she did some stuff, and now she's gone, and it was weird. Like, there's never really a through line to it, I thought. Like, I really think they should have leaned into, oh, Mirai's an invader and she took our belt. And that's just not how Tokyo Joshi does things. But if you're not going to do that with something like this, and even she was always coming to the ring with other Michinoku Pro people, like, all of the building blocks were there. They just didn't do anything with them.
The semi-main event of the show was for the Princess Tag Team titles, and we have new champions, the Inspiration. Cassie Lee, or as the graphics called her on the show, Kathy Lee.
I laughed out loud at that.
I was like, okay. And Jesse McKay defeating Ober Eats, Wakano Uehara, and Yuki Kamifugu in 12 minutes and 14 seconds to win the title. Before the match even started, I did laugh at Jesse McKay slapping her ass in the direction of Kamiyu and Aki on commentary going, all righty. I was like, oh boy. literally the only other note I have during the match itself is the words Kathy Lee.
Yep.
And then my next note is, haha, okay. I did guess it. I said they're gonna win.
Yeah.
Because they're on that Vegas show. The Vegas show really weirdly gave away a lot.
It sure did.
I'm assuming they lose it back at Vegas so that there's like, oh, there was a title change on the Tokyo Joshi show.
Maybe.
And I did love the imagery of Wakana sobbing as she walks away from the ring, turning around, crying, and having the Inspiration be there waving them away. I was like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I think also I was the high man on this match because I wasn't, it didn't offend me. I thought it was fine. It didn't really try and be anything. It didn't, like, I went 3.5. I didn't go like 4.25.
Yeah.
But I was like, I threw three
on it.
I was like, they're heels. They're doing, it's what I said about the preview shows. I'm like, they have to come in and be these weird, annoying heels.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they did that, and I thought it was fine. And frankly, you know, if this was like Daisy Monkey is the champions and the Inspiration come in and beat them, I would probably be like,
yeah,
let's not do that. Frankly, I don't think that Uber Eats had a very good reign.
No, and you did everything you could with them at this point because they won the tag league as champions.
So it's not like, oh, I'm being denied some great match that I can imagine. Now, my hope was they would do something like Uda and Mizuki.
Yeah. Mizuki,
challenging on Vegas, because it's like, just put it on whoever.
Yep.
Because you're not trying to protect the Inspiration. Who cares? Like, put it on a new team. Now it's going to be, as we'll talk about shortly, Shoko and Hyper, which I'm like, that's fine. They've shown that they can wrestle. So if they win the belts, I'm like, great. At least it's on a team I know can go and be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think this also speaks to the problem we've talked about with this tag team division where they don't really have anyone. You know, they have Daisy Monkey, which seems to be continually on the back burner.
Yes.
Like, Suzume is now International Princess Champion, so they're not going for the tag belt soon. And, you know, Uber Eats was whatever. But I think now is the time to get Wakana away from that team.
Yes, she is 100% being held back.
Get her away, because I have a feeling it's actually now not... I have a feeling they were like, oh, we want to push this person, but we don't want them in the singles, so we'll put them with someone who can lead them. But I think she actively might be getting worse at this point.
I would totally agree with that.
So get her away and do something else with her. And it's like, who? There's no other teams. Like, I guess now that, spoiler, Miyu lost the title, you could put Miyu and Rika back together.
Yeah. And you can always run Haru and Aino.
Yeah, but they haven't shown that they want to do that. Like, no. Have them win. Like, they seem to put these teams together randomly, and it's like, oh, this is a pretty good team. And they're like, oh, we only use them for losing the title matches or the tag, Max Art Tag Tournament.
Yeah.
It's like, just put some teams together. Especially, you need to put teams together because you've now got a block on most of your singles titles. Like, no one is going in and defeating Yuki Arai in 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've now got a lot of people at the top, and you've got people coming up who you're going to have to start doing something with. So, you know, put them in tag teams. Anyway, I thought it was fine. You know, a lot of it is contingent on, do the Inspiration go into Vegas and win their match? If they do, I'm a little bit more like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
What are we doing? But I'm assuming they lose them on Vegas. They lose them at Vegas. And it's a total of 3 weeks that they have the belts. Like, I was sort of whatever. It was fine. I enjoyed it enough as sort of an old school, we're crazy heels and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the main event, the Princess of Princess title match, Yuki Arai defeating Miyu Watanabe in 21 minutes and 20 seconds. I actually wrote a full sentence note here.
Oh.
I thought this was solid, but it seems clear to me that Yuki is missing the thing. I don't know what that thing is, but she's missing the thing that will put her on the top level. And she still reads to me as someone who is being a wrestler, someone who is acting as a wrestler and not someone who is a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is someone, oh, I'm an idol and I'm acting like a wrestler. Like, the build for this match was great. I think everyone would agree. But this match came and I'm like, oh, all the things I haven't really liked about Arai in the past are still all there.
Yeah.
And look, I went 4 stars on this. I thought it was very good. I would probably give 3 3/4 of those stars to Miyu. Miyu, to me, is like a top 10 in the world worker.
100%, yes.
To me. So to me, if this had been like 3 stars, I would have thought, oh, something went terribly wrong, that Miyu couldn't get there. I think it got to 4 stars because of Miyu. I'm very concerned. Like, again, we're looking ahead. The Vegas show. Yuki Arai versus J-Rod has an opportunity to be a disaster to me.
Yes.
To me, that match could be very bad. Where Miyu, you know, another giveaway of the Vegas show was, oh, J-Rod's challenging. I'm like, why would you announce that? Is J-Rod selling a lot of tickets to a Tokyo Joshi show?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure she has fans, but if you're going to a Tokyo Joshi show, you're going to see the Tokyo Joshi wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, I guess I can look this up right now. In ring, is Arai the worst in-ring worker to hold the Princess of Princess title?
Yeah. Like, pretty easily.
I think there's some early... I think there's some... Like, you, now, Kelly, I think you spoke too soon, because you know who the second champion with this belt was.
Who was it?
One of your favorite wrestlers of all time. No longer wrestling, actually.
Who would that be? Who would have been around in Tokyo Joshi in the early days that isn't wrestling anymore, that's one of my favorites?
Was champion for 255 days.
250? What the hell?
From September 2016 to June of 2017.
I don't even have a guess.
That would be you.
Oh, God.
I think you is a contender. Like, Reika Saiki, I would have to go back and watch those matches.
I think she was better.
I mean, those, the two of them, I think, are the only contenders.
I would put both of them above Arai at this point.
Yeah, just to me, there is something where it's also a much easier to look at her and be like, oh, she wrestled Meiko Satomura. She's wrestled all these people. I'm like, yeah, she's wrestled all these people who have sort of guided her along these matches. Now, look, and I'm sure that some of these first matches will be like Yuki versus Shoko.
Mm-hmm.
Yuki versus Mizuki, I don't know. Where she still will have that guide, but I'm like, I don't really have a lot of faith. Like, the J-Rod match, I'm like, I don't have a lot of faith that Yuki Arai is going to go in there and be like, here's the match, like, we're setting up this match, it's going to be really great. You know, I think her offense is still, like, pillow soft.
Yeah.
Like, the finally just doesn't work.
It doesn't. She needs to stop it.
It doesn't look like a fit. It looks like, boop, like, boop, booped you on the head. We're having a good time here.
You know, the funny thing is, I thought the J-Rod match tipped it off that Miyu was winning, because I was like, oh, they'll just run that match back, and then they don't really lose a drawing match, and it'll be good. And they wouldn't do that with Arai, because it would clearly be a disaster. And then they did it with Arai instead.
There's It's really one positive to this match for me about the promotion in general, which is the idea that Yuki, she had a title challenge before she lost, and she wins in her second title challenge. Like, they pulled the lever very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is a good sign, because with all of these people now, you know, 5 years ago, maybe more than 7 years ago, there was like three people in this promotion.
Yeah.
Who you were like, okay, these people, you know, Miyu, Shoko, Yuka, Rika, then Mizuki, five. Now you've got like eight or nine people who you might be like, okay, we got to do something with them. And I like that they're not doing this thing. You know, I guess we'll never know why they never pulled the trigger with Ito. But I'm glad we're not back in that situation where it's, oh, this person, oh, they could do it this time. No. Oh, they could do it. No. Because Yuki, I'm assuming, I mean, it could also be a thing that they do the same thing they do with Miyu, where Yuki holds it until June, holds it until August. When's the big show? August?
When
do they usually do it?
Yeah, August? Summer Sun Princess?
Yeah.
I can't remember if that's August or July.
Like, she holds it until August and loses it to Shoko. You know, that's what they did with Miyu. Miyu won it, lost it fairly quickly, and then sort of came back and won it again, and that was the, you know, this title reign was the big one. And so they get it off, and maybe they push, I mean, I don't know who would be next, but maybe it's like an Endo, maybe it's a Suzume, maybe it's a Wakano Uehara, I don't know. But I'm just glad that they did something, you know. Am I over the moon that Yuki Arai is a champion and she'll be having championship matches on the top of a lot of these cards? I can't say I am. But I'm glad that they did something, and it's like, okay, people can move up these cards more than multiple years of waiting. You know, that's the positive for me.
Yeah, that is a good way to look at it. I really liked this match. I went 4.5 on it. I thought they did a great job. But the second the bell rang and the match ended, I thought, oh, we have made a terrible mistake. Because I think Miyu should have won here, and this really should have been the match that establishes her as the company ace. Like, she is the face of Tokyo Joshi. And she still was, like, at the end of the show, like, when they did the bows, she was right there in front and center. So I think that is kind of the plan going forward. But I think she should have won here. I think we should have had Irai wait a little while longer, because there's a lot of, Tokyo Joshi has a lot of positive momentum at the moment. And I think a lot of that comes down to Miyu Watanabe. And I fear that that momentum is going to stop or crawl, just, you know, kind of dry up, because I don't think Yuki Arai is a draw. I think it's been proven that she hasn't really made any sort of change in numbers in this promotion. Miyu's really the only person that, like, I feel like in recent time has been like, oh yeah, you can see the upward trajectory. And I worry that if they do just break glass and put the title back on Miyu, we're gonna see some erosion in the confidence of the fans in her. So I think, by and large, this was a mistake. A great match that was a mistake. So I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping things keep going well with the company. I'm hoping Yuki Arai improves and the J-Rod match isn't a disaster. But we'll see. And I hope sooner rather than later, Miyu is back at the top of the promotion.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see for Summer Sun Princess, which, by the way, now I've looked up, the most recent one took place at the end of July.
Okay.
Although it's been all over in July. But it's like, we'll see. You know, last year at Summer Sun Princess, Miyu didn't even have the title yet, and they did 1384. At Oda City. So it's like, look, is it a thing where have they announced where they're even running the show? Summer Sun Princess 26. Oop.
I don't recall if they have or not.
I don't think they have. So, you know, if they go and they draw 800-900, then it's a clear sign. I mean, I do agree with you. I haven't seen anything looking at these numbers. You know, I guess the argument is, oh, she's in the main event and it drew 3,000 people. But I haven't seen any proof that her being on the show, I mean, from the beginning, she came in as like, oh my God, this is the biggest deal you could ever imagine. And it feels like it didn't really matter. I mean, she's been in the company now for years.
She has music by the dude that does the music for Dragon Quest. Her entrance music is essentially a church psalm in fucking Japan. Like, they've put so much behind her, and I don't think it's paid off.
But we'll see some interesting things coming out of the show. What else has been happening in the last 2 weeks of Joshi? Well, Stardom has had a few shows. They had a New Blood 30 on March 25th. There was a Future of Stardom title match, Rani Yagami defeating Aya Sakura in 14 minutes and 41 seconds.
Did you see that?
I did not. Did you?
Oh, yeah. It rocks. Go out of your way to watch it. I want these two to be just like generational rivals. Their styles complement each other so well. Like the beginning of the match, the opening moments were pretty much just a shoot style match. And then, you know, it kind of went to more traditional match, but it was still incredibly strike heavy and incredibly like just technical submission wrestling. This was awesome. I went 4.25 on it. I want them to run this match back a bunch of times over the next several years.
Then on the 31st, there were two title matches. One was a double title match, the Future of Stardom title and the Princess of Pro Wrestling title, both on the line as Rani Yagami and Hanaka went to a time limit draw, so neither belt changes hands. And then Yuna Mizumori retaining the high speed title over Rion. Marigold had a couple of shows. Mayu Iwatani retaining the Superfly title and the GHC women's title, defeating Natsumi Shozuki. That was on March 28th. And on the 29th, the 3D Trios champions, Irina Yamanaka, Mai Sakurai, and Natsumi Shozuki, defeating Sariyama Okoshina and Yuka Yamazaki to retain those titles. In Sendai Girls on March 27th, Chihiro Hashimoto defeating Manami to retain the Sendai Girls World title. Diana World, it was the Crystal title match, the champion Miran defeating Hanaka on March 25th. On the 29th, Ayako Sato defeating Miss Mongol and Tomoko Watanabe to retain the Elizabeth title. And Debbie Keitel defeating Mochi Natsumi to retain the Diana World title. And then in Wave on April 1st, Rina Amakura and Yuko Sakurai bringing some stability to the Wave tag team titles, defeating Misa Kagura and Sumika Yanagawa, and Itsuki Aoki retaining the Regina DeWave title over Kakeru Sekiguchi. Kelly, tell us what has been happening in Choco Pro.
In Choco Pro, they ran a show on the 23rd. It was Choco Pro 511, titled The Promised. We had three title matches on there. Chie Koshikawa and Sayaka won the vacant Asia Dream tag titles. You had a DPW women's title match. Mei Suruga successfully defended against Soy. I really liked that. I think Soy continues to impress me. And I'm pretty sure now that Choco Pro is her home promotion. I think she has left Evolution like we've seen a couple other people do. I know Chi-Chi and Zones have both made their exit from the promotion as well. And then the main event, the Super Asia title match, Mia Yatsuba defeated Rina Yamashita to unseat her as the champion. This was great. I think this roster has benefited so much from working with Rina, and I hope this isn't the end of her run in Choco Pro, but if it was, she did a great job here, and I think her title run was tremendous. Mia looked great here. You could see as the match went, sure, strikes were getting harder, like, she was becoming more of a complete wrestler in this match against Rena. So I really enjoyed it. I went 4 stars on it, and I'm excited to see what Mia does with the rest of her title run.
All right, and what is coming up in the next 2 weeks? We will start with the action happening in Japan. Stardom has 2 Korakuen Hall shows on the 8th and the 11th of April. The 8th will feature the Rookie of Stardom tournament matches there. Seedling has a show on the 17th of April. Miria Koga will face off against Suri in a singles match. Unagi Saika and Honori Hana will face off against Venny and Celine Mizora. And in the main event, the last match of their tournament, the Seedling tournament, Hiroyo Matsumoto will defend the Beyond the Sea title against Ayame Sasamura in that one. Sendai Girls has a Korakuen Hall show on April 12th, which will feature FWC, Hazuki, and Koguma facing off against Red Energy, Mika Iwata, and Miyuki Takase. That will feature Senka Akatsuki versus Spike Nishimura for the junior title. And then, Kelly, get excited for a hardcore match. That's right. It will be Dash Chizako in a hardcore match, as always, facing off against Kurishio, Tokyo, Japan.
How do we trick WWE into hiring him again?
It's insane that he's everywhere.
Like, we gotta get him back over there.
I mean, I just hope that he's doing the entrance and Dash like hits him with a chair or something.
Yeah. Like, I think we gotta let Chef Michaels cook in the kitchen and hire back Jiro. Yeah. Give him back his real name.
Then it will be Chihiro Hashimoto versus Suri in a singles match. And the main event will be for the tag titles Mio Momono and Yurika Oka. Bob Momo Banana will face off against Ryu Mizunami and Minami.
It's so wild that that tremendous card has such a gaping black hole in the center of it.
And that is all the action happening in Japan, but what is happening in America? Well, it will be WrestleMania weekend soon, and the action, the Joshi action, starts on Wednesday, April 15th, with Pandemonium Pro Wrestling's Whatever Forever, which is happening at 3 p.m. local time at the Bazaar Bar. A place
now,
I've never
does that
heard
mean
of.
will this show have a ring, or is it a no ring show?
I'm looking at the Bazaar Bar. Oh, there's a Bazaar Bar in New York. That's not the one I'm looking for.
Okay, the West Coast show is also at this, so that leads me to believe. Oh, and Marvelous too. Okay, so there will be a ring.
It seems to be a restaurant.
Okay,
is that right? I don't know. No, that can't be right. Well, when I type in Bazaar Bar Las Vegas, nothing comes up.
Great sign.
A good sign. Anyway. that will feature 2 Joshi matches, I guess. For the Pandemonium Pro Championship, it will be the champion Amira defending in a trio. Why have I lost what
a triple
these matches
threat.
Are called? Not a triple threat.
A three-way dance.
Amir, the champion, will defend against Janai Kai and Saya Iida. Very randomly.
Yes.
And then Johnny Robbie will take on Natsupoi.
So are Saya and Natsupoi just getting in early compared to everyone else? And they're like, yeah, sure, we'll work a show.
They're like, we got to see the Bazaar Bar.
Yeah.
Then on Thursday, April 16th at 11 a.m., it will be Tokyo Joshi Live in Las Vegas 2026 at the Pearl Theater. And this will be part of the Triller TV Palm Slam Fest package.
Tremendous.
What does that include? I don't know. Although I could look it up on my television right now.
I'm assuming the GCW stuff is in there.
Sorry, you're all going to hear the sound of my Roku in the background.
Well, hang on. I can just fire up the Triller app on my phone. Oh, I hear okay. It. It's happening.
You hear bing, 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 bing,
bing, bing, bing.
Oh, here there is, Triller TV.
This
could be a real disaster because something could start playing when this opens.
Bare knuckle fighting presents.
Oh, Palm Slam Fest. It's literally the first option.
Oh.
Thank you. Okay, it's $60, $59.99. And it gets you the ultimate value deal. I'll just read this. It's the ultimate all-access pass. I'm like doing an ad read for Triller. 5 world-class promotions, 2 days of pure adrenaline, 1 legendary venue. From Thursday, April 16th to Friday, April 17th, that's not a from. That's 2 days.
That's 2 days.
The Pearl Theater at the Palms Casino Resort becomes the center of the professional wrestling universe. Secure the Slam Fest All Access Packs exclusively on Triller TV to unlock the 5-show gauntlet and save a massive $40.
Keep $40 in your pocket.
Compared to individual ticket prices, I think they mean buying the shows individually.
They call that buying a ticket on Triller.
It is complete coverage of Tokyo Joshi, CMLL, House of Glory, Stardom, and Maple Leaf Pro.
I think I'm just going to stick to buying Stardom and Tokyo Joshi.
So it's on day one, it's Tokyo Joshi, CMLL, House of Glory. Day two, it's Stardom and Maple Leaf Pro.
Yeah, I don't need to see Hog or Maple Leaf Pro, but CMLL would be nice, but you know what?
You don't want to see former Stardom superstar Charlie, formerly known as Evie?
Nah, I'm good.
Okay. Anyway, what's on this Tokyo Joshi card? Well, here's the whole card. Yuki Kamifuku and Wakano Uehara, she can't get away from her yet.
Nope.
Will face off against Uta Takami and Toga. Raku, Yuki, Aino, and Palm Harajuku will take on Shino Suzuki, Himawari, and Alexis Lee. Miyu Yamashita, Mizuki, and Miyu Watanabe will be in a 3-way dance.
That's going to be the match of the show.
Easily. The International Princess title will be on the line. The new champion, Suzume, will defend against Sakura Hattori. Big test very quickly for Sakura Hattori. Then it will be the Princess Tag Titles. The new champion Inspirations will take on Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Masao. And then the main event for the Princess of Princess title will be Yuki Arai defending against J-Rod. So that's the show.
Where does J-Rod typically wrestle? Do you know? Because nope. I have no idea. Is it like OVW?
I believe J-Rod is also going to be on the new American Gladiators reboot, I think.
Well, that makes sense.
In 2025, yes, she wrestled 27 matches in OVW.
Okay.
Her next was Dreamwave, where she only wrestled 5 matches.
Okay.
She wrestled a total of 56 matches last year, and 27 of them were in OVW.
Okay.
Although this year, it has been Juggalo. She's been a Juggalo.
Bro, we gotta bring in the J-Rod.
Oh, facing off against former Tokyo Joshi title challenger Alice Crowley.
Big Al.
Recently, back in February... the women's title number one contendership, Kiss My Ass.
So match. Good, bro.
Oh, this is on YouTube. Oh, there's a wrestler in JCW called Cocaine. Oh, I see. It's the Kane guy.
It's
the fake Kane.
That's right.
Although this person's cage match. Coke, well, the name of this wrestler is indicated as Cocaine, comma, Quinn Widdock.
Unmasking him.
Also known as Quinn Widdock, Tequin Widdock, Warboy Widdock, Cocaine, spelled C-O-K-A-N-E, Cocaine, spelled like the drug, Yellow Cane, Pink Cane, Creature, spelled K-R-E-A-T-C-H-R. It's sure. Like a streaming service.
That's how you can spell a word.
Quinn the Creature, and then Vlad Bladder.
I bet he's great.
He has currently two ratings on Cage Match. They are both nines. He's one of the highest rated wrestlers on all of Cage Match.
Incredible.
Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about more WrestleMania weekend action. That would be West Coast Pro happening at 7 p.m. also at Bizarre Bar on that Thursday. Three Joshi related matches. Danny Luna will take on Senka Akatsuki. Aja Kong will take on Miko Alana. And then for the West Coast Pro Women's World Championship, Johnny Robbie will defend against Mio Momono. Chance for her to win because Marvelous obviously has that relationship. So,
yeah,
could be a good match.
I'm looking forward to that Danny Luna Senka match. That should be good.
Then it is El Desperado presents Death Vegas Invitational, happening at 8 p.m. at the Horseshoe Las Vegas. I believe only two matches announced so far, and they both involve Joshi wrestlers. The first one, Love and Pieces three-way death match at Journey's End. It will be Nick Gage and Matt Tremont facing off against El Desperado and June Kasai facing off against Masashi Takeda and Rina Yamashita.
Hell yeah.
And then there is the Deadly Airtime and Cutie Crime High Stakes Heartbreak Jackpot Match. That was a
little mouthful. I love these names.
Mouthful to say. It will be the kids teaming together, Dragon Kid and Starlight Kid, taking on El Phantasmo and Maki Ito.
And that then, should be fun.
Yeah, I sort of wish it was not Maki Ito.
Yeah. But
what can you do? Then at 10 p.m., we're right back to the Bizarre Bar, where we will have Marvelous Women's Pro Wrestling scheduled to appear at Ichika Miyaba and Soraya Ayame. So I believe this is not the full card. The first match is not a Joshi match. Alpha Zoe, Jaya Jewel, Starboy Charlie. What's his new WWE name?
Chaz something?
Chaz Hank or something?
Just look up Chaz, dude that beat his wife, and you'll find the name.
Vinny Mazzara will take on Ryan Clancy, Allen Angels, JAC, and JT Thorne. Ai Hosan will take on Miko Alana. Mio Momono and Johnny Robbie will face off.
Can they
off
coexist?
Can they coexist against Spark Rush, Seri, and Takumi Aroha? Maybe the Joshi match of the weekend, if I had to guess. But it could also be the rematch.
Yeah, I was going to say, this has a high ceiling.
Aja Kong will face off against Senka Akatsuki again. Their first match from a year ago at WrestleMania was the talk of the town. So will they do it again? And then at 11:59 p.m. back at the Horseshoe, it will be Game Changer Wrestling MDK Fight Club. To who? What?
What? To
who? Who's talking? My Siri is saying to who? What did I say that is at all like the word hanging Siri? That was so weird.
Maybe you said sorry.
Game Changer Wrestling, MDK Fight. Maybe Siri just got excited by MDK Fight Club. Which seems to me a similar thing to Bloodsport, but...
To who? Where? I must go.
She's excited. Only one Joshi match so far. Viperous versus Rina Yamashita versus Charlie Evans in, yes, a three-way dance.
Yep. But more interesting to me is the scheduled to appear.
Yeah, scheduled to appear is three names. Ciclope, John Wayne Murdoch, and Megumi Kudo.
Deathmatch legend Megumi Kudo. Like, is she getting inducted into some Hall of Fame they do or something?
No clue. Don't
Does she live in the States? This is such a weird appearance.
Then we move to Friday, April 17th at the Pearl Theater at 3 p.m. It will be Stardom American Dream 2026. The card is Hazuki and Fuwa-chan versus Rina Yamashita and Suzu Suzuki. Aya Sakura and Natsupoi versus Maki Ito and Saki. Athena, over from AEW, will take on Rina. Micah and Mina Shirakawa will face off against Hanako and Yuri Ahime. Mei, Sierra, Starlight Kid, and Izumi will face off against Willow Nightingale, Harley Cameron, and Chris Statlander. And the main event will be for the Strong Women's title. Alex Windsor, the champion, will defend against Saya Iida. A weird card.
It's a weird card. I don't think it's bad. I think there's some pretty interesting matches. I really like the Hazuki and Fuwa-chan versus Rina and Suzu. I think that'll be good. The Stardom versus AEW Trios match could be good. And I think the main event will most likely be very good.
Yeah, we will see. Athena versus Rina. Very random.
Yeah.
Then at 3 p.m. at the Horseshoe, it will be Game Changer Wrestling presents Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 15. We've done 15 of these things.
So crazy.
And the Joshi match will be Miyu Yamashita against Janai Kai.
If Miyu doesn't win here, I'm going to be so mad.
Then at 6 p.m., we're back at the Bizarre Bar for Pride Style Pro Wrestling Out of This World.
Okay, now what sense are we using Pride? Is it like Pride the fighting or Pride the I am of a certain sexual persuasion?
What a weird way for you to say that.
I forgot how words work for a second. It was like you trying to think of triple threats.
The answer is, I believe, the second one, because it is Pride Style Inclusive Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
Although I do like the slogan, their company slogan is a safe space for violence. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I
like that.
They have a sort of fun website where they have a little dot that follows your mouse around.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's Clicky, the inclusion dot.
Yes.
It's the cousin of the old 7-Up spot.
And I will say, front row for this show is only $36.
Now that's inclusive.
And Miyu is on the poster.
Okay. I have no idea who she's wrestling is.
Kelly, wait. There's only two rules of Pride Style Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
No bigots and bangers only.
Great. I like good both of those things.
Good thing we're not in England, or that would mean a different, you know, you'd be getting some sausage. Anyway, that's my minute on some British humor.
I'm just picturing everyone in the front row just double fisting sausages while they watch. Well, they used to do the second you finish one, they hand you another one.
They used to do the breakfast. What was that show called?
Pancakes and Pile Drivers.
Yes, Pancakes and Pile Drivers.
I was at both of them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I went to both of those shows.
Did I go to one of them? I don't think I did. I think they had one in New York, but I don't think I went.
Oh, did they? Okay, because anyway. I thought they only did that in.
I thought they did.
Orlando and New Orleans. Because that was a Revolver. That was Sammy Callahan's promotion.
That's right. Oh, so I could look this up. Because I could look up Revolver. Revolve, the wrestling Revolver?
Yeah. Yes.
Events. I guess if I just type in pancakes. Pancakes. There were three.
Okay.
The
okay.
last one. The last one was in New York.
Damn. So I haven't gone to all of the pancakes and pile drivers.
The second one has a 4.86 rating on Cage Match.
I don't remember that one being that great.
Oh, the, yeah. What was
first
on the,
one was did fun.
Did I go to this one? Oh God. Main event of Pancakes and Pile Drivers 3 was Dave Crist, Jake Crist, and Sammy Callahan facing off against Eddie Kingston, Joe Gacy, and Shane Strickland.
Yep, that sounds about right.
And this card is Ricky Shane Page versus Tessa Blanchard. Brian Cage versus David Starr versus Moose.
Okay, yeah, the first one I went to, the main event was a ladder match. An invitational scramble ladder match with Jason Cade, AR Fox, Eric Cannon, Caleb Conley, Davey Vega, Joey Janela, Leo Rush, Serpentico, Trevor Lee, Trey Miguel, and Zachary Wentz.
Yeah, I remember that one being good.
Yeah, this show also had Ricochet versus Shane Strickland and Penta and Phoenix versus Brian Cage and Sammy Callahan. It was a good show.
Also, I think this was during 2017, during the time, because I'm seeing it here, where the man scout Jake Manning was on every show.
Yes. On that first one, he wrestled Sue Young.
Sue Young, yes. I remember very specifically being like, I never see this man wrestle anywhere except when it comes to WrestleMania weekend, and then I can never not see him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but you know, free idea for Pride Style Pro Wrestling. Hand out sausages at your show.
Oh yeah, the second one had Eddie Kingston versus Juice Robinson, and during that match, I don't know if someone in the crowd was asleep or what, but either Eddie or Juice got thrown into the barricade, and someone in the crowd just had their head down and took the barricade straight into their fucking mush. And like walked away pouring blood out of their nose.
Anyway, back to the year 2026 at Pride Style Pro Wrestling Out of This World. It will be Tania.
I was thinking Tania, the captain in Tania.
Oh, we'll take on Miyu Watanabe. Oh, okay. Well, this is a long episode, and you can probably tell.
You know, we're getting it's silly time when I break out a Captain and Tennille reference.
Then on Saturday, April 18th, there is only one Joshi match at all on the day, and it's back to Pride Style Pro Wrestling Sobre la Luna, which, Kelly, I don't know if you have been using your Rosetta Stone. You would know that Sobre La Luna
means moon?
Over the moon.
Damn it.
Over the moon, yeah. Brush up on your Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, I guess I better log on.
That is happening at 7 p.m. at Ferguson's Downtown. Whatever the hell that is. Ferguson's.
The Bazaar Bar must be closing up shop for the day to go to Mania.
Ferguson was the brother on Clarissa Explains It All. Oh, this looks like a weird place. Ferguson, first of all, they have art of a semi truck in the air or something.
Okay.
We are a city block hashtag rooted in community. Celebrating local music, art, and creators through the revitalization of the historic Ferguson's Motel. We are cultivating a diverse and inviting community that fosters creativity and passion. From the shops of local makers to restaurants and enchanting green space, Ferguson's is a place where the community can connect, shop, eat, drink, stay, work, gather, and explore. I guess wrestling would be considered part of the gather.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They have a lot of events. Queens and Beads. The Bitch and Stitch Club.
Oh, that's where a mean lady shows you Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, I thought you were going to go and you like sew things and then you complain. But while you're doing it, you have to complain.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to be like, ah, can you believe this? Oh, here it is. Sobre la Luna is listed on the gather section. Oh, it's on Fremont Street. Okay. Great. Anyway, that's and the one match on that show is Amira versus Senka Akatsuki. It is happening on Pride Style Wrestling. And then on Sunday, April 19th, it is the WrestleMania tradition. Spark Joshi with Lady Luck 2 at the Hyper X Arena. I love these names. The Hyper X Arena. Oh, wow. Is a 30,000 square foot venue.
Oh.
Oh, it's also hosting Killer Cross's Natural Born Killers 5.
Oh, great.
Which unfortunately doesn't feature any Joshi wrestlers, but does feature Matt Riddle, Jinai Kai, Simon Gotch. Is that his name still?
All the stars.
TJP.
All the stars.
And many more. Yes, a 30,000 square foot venue with a 50-foot LED screen.
Okay.
All right. They have not announced a single match for that card, I don't believe. However, Kelly, the most interesting announcement, Sayuri Namba will be the ring announcer for the show. And some of the names that Sayuri Namba will announce are Saki, Natsupoi, Hazuki, Rina, Starlight Kid, Azumi, Maki Ito, Aya Sakura, Viperous, Jasmine Allure, Aaliyah James, Erica Demia, Danny Moe, Brittany Blake, and Maya World. So if you've ever had the dream of Sayuri Namba ring announcing for Stardom wrestlers, your dreams are coming true. And that is all currently. I should say it is, as we said at the beginning of the episode, it is currently Sunday, April 5th. So things will probably be announced after this, but they're not announced now, so we're not talking about them. And that is everything that is happening with WrestleMania weekend and Joshi Wrestling. Before we go, remember, if you want to not just learn a language, but to start living it, get involved with Rosetta Stone, and you can get started today at voicesofwrestling.com/JBA Rosetta. Kelly, I throw it over to you for Kelly's Corner.
Man, I'm still just playing Popopia. Like, that's all I do. I play that fucking little Pokemon town building game. That's about it.
He's a simple man.
I'm a simple man
with simple needs.
Yep. I need my little guys.
And one of his great needs is to talk about Joshi every 2 weeks.
Exactly.
So we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time on WrestleMania Sunday to talk about all the action that has happened. Hot off.
Oh, are
presses.
You going to be able to record? Because you want to watch the show, right?
Of course. The show where... Have they announced what's on what night?
I don't believe so.
I am a big Pat McAfee head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So now that he's involved, I can't stay away.
Yeah, okay. So hopefully they'll do that one on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, look, I could have the show on while we're recording.
That's true, but you want to give it like a full attention.
Sure. Sure.
We could just record during like the 20-minute long ad breaks in between matches.
I should say, looking through, I don't actually want to watch the show, but it would be funny to see if we could record an entire, I mean, we easily could, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Even if it's now we've gone, what, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Even if we went this long, we would have probably another hour.
Hmm.
Well, maybe we could make the rule that we can't stop until the show is over. And we record in all the breaks.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I think people are getting very excited by all these ideas.
Yes, definitely.
But we will be back in 2 weeks' time on the right side of 150 as we will be here for Jumping Bomb Audio 151. Until then, you know what to do. Stay cool.
Bye, everybody.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.